Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world? You just tuned into Blog Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born talent events and Talk to Me Media. It is so good to have you guys back. This is our last segment before we revamp and start over again. God is good. It's been 6.5 years, and we're at a little over the 10,000 peak mark. And I just want to thank you for supporting this broadcast online. God knows I had no idea where this would be going, and I still don't know where God is taking it. But I just want to thank you for your support and all that you have done to try to put this broadcast out there and let your friends and family know about it. We have a very, very, very special group that is scheduled to come on tonight. And our topic for Talk to Me tonight is the treasured black man. And I want to delve briefly into that after I get into some scriptures. And hopefully we'll have at least one of the group members calling in very, very soon. So let me get started. I want to start off with the New Living Translation in Deuteronomy 7:6. It says, "For you are holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on the earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be his own special treasure." Okay, 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession to proclaim the virtues of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So if you have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, you know, he is talking about you. And it's very simple if you want to accept Christ into your heart. And, you know, I'm not going to say that it's going to be, you know, just like that with the snap of the finger, everything's going to turn around and be wonderful. That's not what it means, because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he delivers us out of them all. So you can go to Romans 10 and 9 through 11, and you can read it out loud for yourself, confess it to yourself in the mirror, out loud to the Lord. Also, you would a friend in the room, a family member, and you know, you will have him in your heart, and he will begin to work with you as you get closer to him. So in any case, let's move on. Deuteronomy 26, 5 to 9. I want to read a little bit of that. And it says, "Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Arminian, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to the place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey." And so we see here in this particular scripture, and we talking about the oppressed and those who are going through great suffering and turmoil. And I wanted to hone in on some of the things that have been occurring across this nation with the killings of our people, and not just by each other. This is being inflicted on unjustly in many, many cases by police officers who are there to protect. And I'm not going to say every police officer is bad, but one thing I do know is that this is occurring thing. The only difference is now we see it on video, but this has been happening for hundreds of years, where we have been subjected to oppression and mistreatment and all types of mistreatment and hurts and pains by another race, and particularly the white race. And so we want to address this because, you know, we don't want our children growing up being afraid of the cops. They're supposed to be able to trust in knowing that these people are there to protect them no matter what color they are. And so it is very, very disturbing and very upsetting, because we have to watch these families lose their loved ones and lose them to just heinous crimes committed blatantly out in the open, and nothing is really being done. Many of these cases, the cops are not even being locked up. They're not having to pay any consequences. And so, you know, it's a very terrible thing that's going on. And I wanted to address the other side of it, because anytime that you keep being attacked over and over again, it's something that you must have that is valuable. Anytime the enemy is coming towards you, trying to steal, kill, and destroy, there is something that is worthwhile that you have in your possession that the enemy wants to destroy. And he wants to destroy the self-esteem. He wants to take away the resources. He wants to put our black men in a position where they're not taking care of their families and not standing up, being the head. And this is what's been going on for many years before I was even born. And so I entitled this "The Treasured Black Man," because there is something special about a black man, that the reason why the enemy keeps attacking, just like these people who were trying to get out of Egypt. And, you know, they wanted to escape the suffering that they were enduring, the misery that had overcome them for years. But God brought them out, and he used the leader to do it. And so we want to lift up people. We want to encourage. We don't want our children being killed, because we need new leaders. We need new people rising up that's going to set an example, and that's going to carry us forward in this century with new tactics and new strategies to try to come to some resolution, because the old way may work for at that time. But we need to come up with some new ones, because there's many people that's not going to be walking, doing no marching, protesting. We want to know what tangible is going to happen right now. And that's the thing, that we as a community have to sit down and decide what's going to happen. Even the church leaders come together. It's not about your church and your program and all these different things. And, you know, it come together, because if everybody came together, we can end this. We can end this, and we can do this the right way, and we can do it decent and in order and make change. Black Lives Matter is a great organization, but is not the only organization out there. You start your organization if you don't like what's going on with them, but at least they're doing something. I want to go to Luke 6, 20 to 21, and it says, "Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, 'God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for in due time you will laugh.'" And as a community, I'm looking at this as a community, as a village. As a community, weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. But also says that faith without works is dead. So something has to be done other than people griping and being upset and not knowing what to do, because there's some people that really don't know. How can they help? What can they do? So give me some feedback for Talk to Me. You can always email me. All the information is up there. And I do want to move on, because I want to give a couple of announcements. Please get my ebooks. Go to Amazon.com/author Sheree Humphrey. Also, you can go to our website at www.ditrfindingthespiritinme.org. I want to hear what these young, handsome, fine black men have to say on this subject. So I'm going to go to a very quick break, and then I'm going to come back and talk to these young men.
Fairy side, by thy side we'll stand and always praise thy name.
Praise thy name, praise thy name.
Forever, yeah. Lend our hearts, ooh, and hands to help increase thy faith.
Oh Lord,
the honor.
Yeah.
Of obedience, praise forth our loyalty.
Loyalty, loyalty.
So cheer for dear Israeli. Oh, to victory. Ooh,
yeah.
All aboard.
Can miss.
All aboard.
Can miss.
All aboard,
train is coming,
aboard,
train is coming.
Yeah,
all
aboard, Kedley.
Yeah,
East
side, fellas.
Oh,
train,
train,
train.
have it. That was Riff Fair Eastside High. I know you remember this song. That was from their 1989 film Lean on Me. And I met these young men about a month and a half ago in Bridgeport at one of the Downtown Thursday concerts. I believe it was a Downtown Thursday. And just so happened, one, Nitty, I believe, is related to a good friend of mine, Connie Johnson. But in any case, I want to read their bio before I bring them on, and hopefully they'll give us a little taste of their singing and bless us with that. After singing in the 1989 film Lean on Me, which is based upon events occurring at Eastside High, the group changed its name to Riff and signed their first major record deal with SBK Records. Riff released their self-titled album in 1991. The group scored several respectable hits, including three on the Hot Billboard 100, debut single My Heart Is Failing Me, which peaked at number 6, followed up with another single, If You're Serious, at number 7. Also, My Heart Is Failing Me, which reached number 4 on the Top 40 charts, and White Men Can't Jump, which was the title track for the hit movie that reached number 1. Their song Family, featuring Vanilla Ice, appears on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles soundtrack. The success of their album, the group has made several appearances. I know you remember the Arsenio Hall show, The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, The Party Machine with Nia Peebles, Rick Dees, Donnie Simpson, Showtime at the Apollo, which you guys definitely should know. I know I've done that show 2 times, Soul Train, and so many others. Riff opened up on tour for LL Cool J, Vanilla Ice, and in 2013, Cyndi Lauper's 30 Years, She's Unusual tour. Back after a long hiatus, Riff's future goal is to allow the world to see how they have grown as men through their music and live performances, showcasing their smooth vocals along with their new project. Riff, Mike Best, Anthony Fuller, Stephen Capers, Delvis Damon, and Andre Lamar are currently putting the finishing touches on their third album, 25, which is scheduled for release soon. So let's talk to these guys. I'm going to plug them in right now. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, yes.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey,
can you hear us? Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. We can hear you.
Okay. How you doing, guys? How you doing, fellas? Okay, okay.
You know,
we had a little...
We're kicked back, listening to you jam out a little bit. Sounds
okay.
Good. Thank you for the support.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and it was a pleasure meeting you. I do have to say something to Andre. My cousin says she loves you. And she just wanted me to let you know. So I wanted to tell you that.
Everybody loves Andre Lamar.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Everybody loves Andre Lamar.
Yes. She got first dibs on you, because other than that, I would have been like, I'm sorry. I want that one right there for myself.
See what I mean?
Okay,
no
well, let's get into things. Riff, you started off as the Playboys. Tell us just what's going on with you now. What do you have coming up? And how do you feel about this topic, the treasured black man?
All right, we're hearing some feedback in the back, but I'll take it. I'll take a little piece of it. Right now, you know, we're just focusing on some new material. We're getting ready to finish up the finishing touches on a EP that we're trying to get done. We really don't have a name. That name, 25, was something that we was going to put out on the 25th anniversary of the movie Lean on Me. And we kind of missed that date,
okay.
So we had to push that back. But we are working on a brand new EP. Hopefully we'll have it done for Christmas, and we'll have some new music out for everybody to enjoy. Grown and Sexy music you get a chance to hear. Andre Lamar, get it down for the ladies. You know what I mean? So, we're definitely working on some things. And, you know, we're just trying to stay focused and keep R&B alive.
Yes, absolutely. And I know you had a passing in your family. I just want to give you my condolences personally, because I did talk to you, you know, Little Pie, and I, you know, told him to relay the message for me. But I just want to send my condolences to you all and the family. And, you know, God bless you and continue to lift you up and keep you.
Yeah, definitely appreciate that. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. Who was that deep voice that just came in there for a second?
Smooth, probably.
Yeah, Smooth as May. That's me.
Smooth. Okay, how you doing?
I'm good.
So, Ken Smooth, can you tell us a little bit about what your thoughts are on the topic, the treasured black man? What does that mean to you, and what do you have to say about the killings that have been going on across this nation by cops?
Well, it's kind of like a double-edged sword, because it's tough being a black person, a black young man out here, and then it's tough being a cop. So, I mean, it can swing either way, but it's definitely sad that, you know, we are losing a lot of black lives to senseless killings and senseless violence. I think it needs to be, I mean, we talk about it a lot. We do some protesting, but the hardest thing is to try to get everybody involved. I mean, it's like we as a race, we need to come together and start supporting each other, helping each other out instead of just pulling each other down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree. And Chill, is Chill there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is
Tuesday. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, Chill, how are you today?
I'm good. Everything. I'm blessed.
Okay.
Thank God.
All right. Yes, and I wanted to know from your standpoint, what does a treasured black man mean to you? Why do you think that this is like a non-ending type of thing that keeps continuing to manifest itself into just snowball year after year, decade after decade? I mean, we're in the year 2016, and this is still blatant, out, overt type of offenses against black men. It's targeting us. As a whole.
Well, my opinion on that is that because of, and you know, as bad as I hate to say this, because of things, the beginning, which happened back in, I want to say about like 2 years ago in St. Louis, Missouri, which, you know, my family is from. I think that really sparked up a lot, because as black people, we feel we don't get an opportunity. We don't get a fair shot at things. And then once that type of thing happens in a community like that, and you feel that you don't have support from the court system, and you don't have support from the mayor and the councilman and all the people in that type of setting, it makes things harder for us as black people to say, you know, when are we going to have a fair shot? When are people going to hear our voice? When are people going to be accepted to the blindness that's going on in situations? You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that, you know, us as Afro-American people, we're always right. But, you know, when something happens and it's clear as day and you can see it visually, I'm talking about through cell phones and through, you know, social media. Come on. I mean, how much more do you need to see to understand that the truth is right before your hand? You know, and for the most part, Afro-American people, we're getting tired. But at the same time, we got to understand this and know that we can't stoop to their level. Because when it comes to us as people from 10,000 years ago, We never had a fair shot back then, and we're not going to have a fair shot now. The only thing we can do is just continue to pray as a race and just hope that God comes in and just totally change things. Now, real quick, I want to say this. Like, me and a young man was talking, and we was talking about jobs. I think in any type of black community, I think if everybody, like, from town, like, from each town to town and from stores to store, like Kentucky Fried Chicken, McDonald's, Popeyes, Subway, I think as a whole, if every storefront start opening up, like, opportunities for young black people, even young white people, Spanish people, if y'all hold, like, job, opportunities as, like, one-day job opportunities, I think what you basically do, you give people hope to where they don't got to worry about being on this corner or being on that corner or being on that block selling drugs, this and that, because now you give people – you give them reassurance to say, you know what, I don't have to go out there and try to make $10 by selling dope or by doing this and that. That's negative. That's going to cause you to be a society, a victim to society, or be locked up in jail or somewhat like that. But I think if you allow these people, these kids who are the future, a chance to say, you know what, there's a chance that they're holding like a job situation to where I can go out and apply and I can get hired, I think it changed the whole demeanor of that person having a gun that he know he probably can sell to the next person for $200 or whatever. Because that's what happens. You know, we as black people, we do crazy things. And the reason we do that, because there's no job opportunity out there for us.
Right.
You know, so that's
so right.
And it makes things so much harder. Like these kids, they hang out on the block, but they don't have nothing else to do. You took away the community center. You took away the Boys and Girls Club. Now you got to charge. You got to pay to go to the Boys and Girls Club, to where all of that type of stuff was freely given to us. You know, but now everything is a dollar. But you want to charge people. You want to charge these families. But guess what? You're not giving them no job opportunities.
Yes, and,
you know,
it's absolutely true. Because I remember, Chill, going back in the day, I was singing, you know, in a group, and we were tailor-made. We could go to Yearwood, and we'd practice anytime we wanted, and we could stay in there anytime, you know, for as many hours as we wanted to rehearse. And we didn't have to pay anything. All we had to do was just say we need a room. And it's changed now. Things have really gotten out of control. Everything is just a money market. And, you know, it's very, very sad. But, like, you made some great points. I want to hear from Nitty. What makes you a treasured black man? And as a group, what has made you treasured black men to survive these past 20-something years just as men, never mind a group?
You know what? I hate to touch on this topic, but I'm gonna say this, and then I'm gonna get off it because it makes me really sad.
Okay.
You gotta learn to play the game. Point blank and simple. Buckle your seatbelt. Dress for the part. Read. Be educated. Know the law. And be respectful. Get off those corners. Do what you got to do. Hey, point blank, I never did it. I'm not trying to do it. You know what I mean? If I see people that I know, I encourage them to keep, to like, you know, get off that corner, man. You know what I mean? Get a job. Do something. If you want to, what makes us targets is that we fall into the trap. That's the bottom line.
Right.
Point blank.
Right. A lot of times
Stop
we do.
Many falling
times
into the
we
trap.
Yeah.
Stop falling into the trap. Keep it moving, man, because they are out to get us. You can't sit back and cry about it, talk about it. Got to do something about it. And that's all I got to say.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Nitty. And I just wanted to see, you know, from the whole group, if you would just bless us with just a bar or something from any song that you have done.
It's kind of hard to sing because we're on separate phones. Like, we are all at our individual homes, so I don't really know where everybody is right now. You know what I mean? I'm home laying in bed. But I don't know where everybody else is.
I heard Drake clean his throat. It sounds like Drake about to throw down.
All right, come on, give us something then, Drake.
Nah, man, it's just a group thing. We got to make sure we come correct and come together, you know?
Okay, okay. But nobody going to give me a little solo? Ain't nobody going to try to even serenade me just a little bit?
What y'all want to try to sing, man?
It's kind of hard to do it. I mean,
want to do a little tears?
We can't because we're on separate lines.
All right, get that key. Get the key. Somebody pull up the key because I don't want to be singing it wrong. All right, hold on. Give me 1 second. I'll tell you right now.
Hey, Nitty, I don't think that's going to work on separate lines.
Separate lines. It'll be crazy.
Can't keep timing, and then it's going to be glitchy. All
right.
Because you won't hit a timing. But somebody can give a...
So Drake will have to
Drake. Yeah, let Drake.
Where's
Drake
at?
The ladies.
My God, why are you going to throw me out there like that?
hey, Drizzy. Give him a little bit, baby. Just give him one little bar.
Here we go.
Bring them ladies to us.
That Donnie
joint.
All right.
That Donnie joint.
I've been so many places in my life and time, and I've sung a lot of songs, and I made some bad rhymes.
That's all you're going to get right now, though. That's it.
Yes!
That's it.
I appreciate it.
That's
thank
great.
You so much.
Yes.
Well, it was a pleasure having you guys, and I really appreciate you taking out the time, you know, to bless everybody here and talk to me and even me. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
I have a question. Do you have our single Perfect 10 and Sorry?
So bad, fellas.
Huh? What'd you say?
Do you have our new single Perfect 10 and our single Sorry?
No, I might have, but I know I have one song, which is the one I was trying to play that was the technology was a little slow, but it's Riff Fair East Side. That's the one that I have that is uploaded into the system. But what I will do is once we go back to another broadcast is put up a different one and play that, you know, so that people can hear. But you got to send it to me.
Okay.
No,
and listen, please, for the fans who are listening, go to Riff Sounds Facebook, Riff Sounds Twitter, Riff Sounds Instagram, and look out for the single that's out now, Perfect 10, and the other single entitled Sorry. All right? And we look forward to coming to you guys real soon. All right? So check us out, Riff Sounds, Riff.
All right. Thank you so much. And we have run out of time. I want to thank you so much. And hopefully you guys will come back and return before the end of the year. I don't know. But I'll talk to Little Pie and see where you guys are at. But I appreciate it anyway. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having
me. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
There you have it. That was Riff. That was Michael Bess, who is a.k.a. Nitty, Anthony Fuller, who is Chill, Stephen Capers, Delvis Damon, and Andre Lamar. And that was Riff from the movie Lean On Me. And I'm sure everybody in the black community has at least saw that movie once, twice, or three times. I am signing out. Thank you so much for listening to Talk to Me Radio. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey. God bless you. We are going to be taking a break, and then we'll be coming back. I thank you so much for tuning in. Tell a friend. If you want to get media coverage, call me up, and we can go from there. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Looking at you, I can tell you've had hard times in your life. Now it's time for me to make everything right. I'm gonna shower you with lovely things, help you smile again. Wanna get to know you, make it right, so you can breathe again.
You're a diamond in the rough, and I'm here to make it better.
Yeah.
You're a diamond in the rough, and we gon' shine it up together.
Oh. I see the scars from the broken heart. Life's got you down.
Life's got you down.
And the bags under your eyes. Miles inside, it's tearing you apart. Girl, you're looking at change. I'm a man who prays, and I'm strong in faith. God must have had a plan. Placed you in my hand. Let me lead the
you're
way.
You're a diamond in the rough.
Diamond in the rough.
You're a diamond in the rough. And we gon' shine in love together.
We gon' shine in love together.
You're a diamond in the rough.